So, welcome, and please welcome with me Jihan El-Tari. So, what we are actually doing here today is presenting excerpts of three films that Jihan had just completed or is still in the process of almost completing. Three documentaries produced by her with Arte. Each one of them in full length is about an hour. I think there's also a short and a long version. And one of them only has ever seen the light of the public so far. Just a few weeks back, the first part, simply titled NASA, has been premiered and has already won the African Oscars, the African Academy Awards. So, Jihan, to briefly structure our proceedings, we will show three excerpts of each film and discuss in between and also open to questions, not for very long, three times, so that you don't have to carry questions you might have for too long with you, because we're going to have this for 2 hours here. And I'd like Jihan to introduce basically how you came to that trilogy and what particular place it holds in your body of documentary work, and perhaps also already tell us what in your eyes distinguishes this trilogy from other work that is out there or isn't on Egypt's modern history, post Second World War, post independence history. And then once you gave us maybe a short general introduction into the trilogy, we'll begin by talking a little bit about the lead up to where we're going to enter, you know? The lead up meaning the history, the prehistory of the Nasser period.
Okay, well, maybe I should just start by saying that I had absolutely no intention on ever doing a film about Egypt, and but then I did. When the revolution on the 25th of January 2011 started, I didn't believe for a second that it would become anything, because since 2004 there had been quite a bit of constant demonstrations. And when Tunisia happened, a friend of mine in South Africa came up to me and said, "You're next." And I remember specifically telling her, "When the Sphinx gets up to walk, maybe." So I was wrong. but basically, when I went back for the first time in 18 years, because I had some political problems previously, I was the euphoria and the hope for the future was so immense and so believable that one had to start asking questions. And for me, what I wanted to do with this trilogy, which then took several forms, was trying to think of the origins of what made this uprising slash revolt slash revolution slash whatever you want to call it, but these people getting up and saying no, what made it inevitable? Where does this come from? Does a population just wake up one bright morning and decide to say stop? So initially what I was trying to do was thematically based. I didn't at any point think I would do it per president, but the first cut of my thematically based proposal, each part was about 7 hours long, so I decided that I needed to do something differently. And so basically, although each part carries the name of one of the presidents, it's not a portrait of a president. It's trying to capture the era which then the name of the president identifies, because he does become the all powerful of that particular era. And you saw the clip of the introduction, and in that clip, I start with Nasser, because Nasser is, and to my knowledge, until I started researching, he was the first president of Egypt. But then when I started the research, I discovered, and I did study in Egypt for a few years, but none of my textbooks mentioned a president who had been a president for 3 years before Nasser came, who's called General Mohammed Naguib. And it was quite a revelation for me. And the first clip we're going to see is about that moment. The way I've structured the talk, basically, is that three clips from each president's era, and these moments are turning points in the trajectory that then makes 2011 inevitable, obviously from my point of view. And one of the main questions that I guess was the foundation of trying to understand why people rose in 2011 was the level of repression that had become, like the 2010 elections in Egypt, the level of repression became almost embarrassing even for the ruling party, and some of the ruling party members at the time denounced it. And in 2010, the ruling party got 100% of the seats in parliament. So it had reached a point of no return. So trying to go backwards and pinpoint the points on the road that lead to that was something I needed to understand. I have just two more things to say, and then we'll start with the clips. The other thing that I sort of discovered during my research was that each and every Egyptian president comes with a vision. His intention and his desire is to bring back Egypt's glory. And he comes with a vision that he believes that this is the route for the return of Egypt's glory. But then a moment of weakness in each reign imposes on them almost repression as the only route to implement that vision that would save Egypt. So, I mean, I guess I was talking to Anselm yesterday, and I was basically thinking that they almost become dictators unwittingly. They don't mean to become dictators. They don't intend to become dictators. But the process and the desire for a certain form of development pushes them into that corner. And when the moment of weakness comes, which has happened in each reign, that's where the switch comes. So basically, for the first section, I've chosen three clips. The first one I've called Democracy versus Military Rule. The second one is called The Brotherhood Radicalization. And the third one is called The Road to a Security State. These are just markers on the road that we'll pick up later on with the next clips. Thank you.